What a blessing. Thank you all so much. It's great to be back with our Dalton and Tunnel Hill family. Give a big wave to our Tunnel Hill family. We had a wonderful morning today with the Carnes family and all our Tunnel Hill family. God did wonders this morning, and God's going to do wonders here tonight because he's the God that never changes. Hallelujah. What a blessing to be in this beautiful building. Be in the presence of God. What a beautiful worship time. Pastor Craig, I believe you are truly on the right road with the worship. Absolutely beautiful. I was amazed by Israel. What a voice. That's the first time I ever heard the man sing and play. What a voice. What a gift. And this young man and the cello, wow. What a sound. Praise God. I'm honored by that glorious worship tonight. But this will be a night of miracles. I am confident, I'm expectant, I'm excited, because God is a healing and miracle God in this room tonight. But I want to share the word for a few minutes, because God has put a word in my spirit that I believe is the revolutionary word for the church. The revolutionary word for the church. And I want to say this, and I want to release this as we begin as a foundation. And I want you to really hear this. God will not do it without us. Now that's going to shake some religious cores. Because many people are dependent on the sovereignty of God. They're believing that God's just going to do it. If God's going to do it, God will just do it. And many people have assumed what I call a religious posture. And they'll say, God knows I need a miracle. And when he's ready, he'll just come and heal me. God knows what I need. But when you study the Word of God, you study the mighty miracles in the Word of God, you'll find that there's a reoccurring theme. Somebody reached out to him. Somebody called on him. That's the key of faith tonight, is calling on him, reaching out to him, being the vessel tonight. God will not do it without us. I want to share a word from the book of Hebrews. And I'm going to share some scriptures tonight. And then we're going to believe for the manifestation of miracles. But I believe we as the body of Christ in the earth, the nations, we have been waiting for God. God has been waiting for us. Therefore, nothing is happening. We're waiting, he's waiting. We fail to realize by revelation that we have been sent. The church has been sent to impact the world. But a tragedy is many believers have been lied to so long that they have believed the lie. And the lie is simple. We're not worthy. We're not good enough. We're not holy enough. We're not educated enough. We haven't prayed enough. We haven't given enough. We haven't fasted enough. We haven't something enough. When the simple reality is, he, Jesus, is enough. That's what we have to see. But in 41 years of born-again life, kingdom life, and ministry, I've come to realize something. The hardest thing for mankind, as men, women, boys, and girls, to do is simply receive. Simply receive. Because we've been taught, earn it, deserve it, pay for it, work for it, struggle for it, sweat for it. When it comes to the things of the kingdom, when it comes to the things of redemption, we have to humble ourselves and receive it. We receive eternal life. Receive your miracle. Listen, you can't get good enough to get healed. You can't get good enough to get saved. You can't get good enough to receive your Holy Spirit language. You can't get good enough on your own. He has made us worthy. Church, you've got to hear that tonight. You've got to walk out of this building saying, He has made me accepted in the Beloved. When I was born again, on January the 3rd, early morning of the 4th, 1985, I could take you to the spot where I encountered the resurrected Son of a living God, opened my eyes to the supernatural world, demons and angels and God and the devil and heaven and hell and the reality of eternal life. I became the 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That has to become a revelation to you. It's not just churchy. It's not church language. It's not some nice idea. It's not just metaphoric. It's reality. There are believers tonight, maybe in this room, in this region, that are still walking around guilty for what they've never done. I have a little saying, it goes like this. I didn't do it. A dead man did it. I didn't do it. A dead man did it. So that's where it begins. Before we can go any farther, you have to come to a place of revelation that as a born-again believer, you have no sinful past. There's nothing you can go back for. You can't reach back and get it because it's not there. Tonight, God's going to deliver people all over this room from lying, deceiving spirits that have held us in religious bondages. They've captivated us even in religious walls. They've kept us from impacting the world by illegal and unlawful guilt. Listen to me, church. God has taken our guilt, our shame, our condemnation, and our blame. I release you tonight from that. Father, give us a spirit of wisdom. Give us a spirit of revelation. Open our eyes, Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. Open our eyes tonight, God. Give us a dramatic, impacting revelation that will send us forth from this place to touch the world in Jesus' name. Remember this. God will not do it without you. God's not going to do it without me. I think that's been one of the greatest errors and deceptions of the church. We've been praying and believing for God to do it. We've been saying, God, come down. God, come down. He's saying, I already came down. He said, now I have sent you to do what I did. Oh, I'm moving ahead here. Hebrews 10, please. Hebrews 10, verse 6. And let this just simply be the beginning. I could lecture on this for a good hour or two, but we won't do that tonight. But I pray that I'll set you on a course of discovery where you'll begin to study the Word of God. I want to give you some nuggets tonight, and I pray that you will be hungry enough to pursue it, that you'll be hungry enough to get in this Word and begin to study for yourself. Listen to me. Don't take my word for this. Take His word for this. And let His word open your eyes tonight. In Hebrews 10, verse 5, talking about the Lord Jesus. Therefore, when He, Jesus, came into the world, He said, sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. And you can go on and read the rest of this marvelous chapter. But the point I want to make is this. You are, I am, the body of Christ. Now, I could get up in churches and say, we're the body of Christ. Everybody cheer. We're the body of Christ. He's the head, we're the body. This is what I want you to see. Not only are we corporately the body of Christ. You, me, we individually are the body of Christ. I am the body of Christ. Now, let me explain this. Let me explain it with a verse. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Acts 10, verse 38. Acts 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Now notice the language, because language is everything. God the Father anoints Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Now you can study in Matthew 3, the baptism of Jesus. Jesus goes into the water as John the prophet, John the baptizer, John the Baptist baptizes him. Jesus comes out of the water and heaven opens. Jesus sees the Spirit. People say, you can't see the Holy Spirit. Yes, you can. He saw the Spirit. What does that mean? Revelation. He saw the Spirit like or as a dove. Now, the Holy Spirit is not a dove, but in the form of a dove, came upon him, which means experience. God wants to give you an experience tonight. An experience that will transform your life, spirit, soul, and body. Listen to me, church. God is concerned about our bodies. We sang it tonight. The temple. You know, Paul looked at the Corinthians and he said, what? What? The French say, pourquoi? What? Don't you know you are the temple of the living God? He experienced the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit came upon him, that was an experience. Then he heard the voice of the Father audibly say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. From that moment, he goes into the wilderness. He's tempted 40 days, 40 nights. He fasted, he prayed, he sought God. He overcame the temptations of the enemy. He overcame, so now we have overcome because we are in him and he is in us. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. But the Bible says something very significant. It says that Jesus went in to the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit. But he came out in the power. He went in full, he came out in the power. And that's when he began his miracle ministry. What happened? Acts 10:38 happened. God the Father anoints. Anoints means Christos. Christ. What happened? Everything changed. Everything changed in the life of the carpenter from Nazareth. Listen to me carefully. Jesus of Nazareth actually became Jesus the Christ when the Spirit came on him. You, me, we, if we are truly Christians, not nominal, not in word only, not in name only, not in denomination only, but if I am a true, legitimate, bona fide, biblical Christian, I must be anointed. I cannot have the title Christ attached to my life unless I'm empowered by the Spirit. Christ means anointed. Hebrew, Messiah. Greek, Christos. Anointed. If I'm truly a Christian, then I am an anointed one. Empowered one. By the Spirit. Empowered to be the body for Christ. Now, listen carefully. Study this. Don't take my word. Jesus, as we know Jesus, the Word became flesh. John 1:14. Merry Christmas. The Word became flesh and dwelt or tabernacled among us. The Word from eternity past becomes a man. But here's the golden nugget. The life of Jesus was not a display of what God could do, or God could work, or God could perform. His life was the perfect blueprint life of what a man could do, a woman could do, in right relationship with God. Now we could split some theological hairs, and we will a little. But the Bible clearly teaches us in the book of Philippians a Greek word called kenosis. Kenosis. It means the emptying. Jesus Christ, God the Son, as much God as the Father, as much God as the Spirit, as much Creator as the Father and the Spirit, absolute deity, wrapped in humanity, never stopped being God, but had to live as a man for man to be the blueprint man of the new creation. Otherwise, think about this, intellectual people. If Jesus was only God, how could God die? God cannot die on a cross. God cannot die. If God died, all of creation would be sucked into a black hole of oblivion. Because all things are withheld by the word of his power. If God ceased, all of creation would cease with him. Jesus didn't die as God. He died as a man. So here we have the full God-man. Fully God, fully man in one body. Now here's where it gets amazing. Jesus did not live as God. He lived as a man anointed by God to be the blueprint man. This is who you are. Let me give you something to study. Matthew 17. Take this home. Read it before bed. It's called the Transfiguration. Transfiguration. It's the action or activity of crossing over. If something is trans, it's crossed. The Bible teaches us in Romans 12:2, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of the mind isn't the end result. The renewing of the mind is the power that gets us to cross over. The more you renew your mind, the more you'll cross over from one life to another. Renewing of the mind is the bridge. Think about this. Transformation means to cross over. The cross is the bridge from death to life. And we're learning how to transform our minds to live this life, to live the Christ life, living the anointed life. See, this will break us into a new dimension, church, where we begin to release the power of God just like Jesus did. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. God was with him. Acts 10:38. What do you mean God was with him? God the Father? Oh yeah, God the Father seated in heaven. Remember, the heavens open, he hears the voice of the Father. God spoke from heaven. God was with him. Where? On him. God the Spirit. God the Spirit. Now, I want to say something now. It's going to make you go, eh. Might as well practice. Eh. And I'm going to say this to challenge you. How many know we need to be challenged? Here it is. Jesus did no miracles. Oh, man. I liked you up to this point, brother. Now we take nothing away from his lordship. I worship you, Jesus Christ. You are my king. You are my master. You are my savior. You are my Lord. You are my Adonai. But the reality is, Jesus did not do the miracles. The Holy Spirit did the miracles. It was the Spirit that did the miracles. One of our favorite stories in Pentecost is Mark 5. We can preach on the little woman. I could preach on the little woman every night. The woman with the issue of blood. Classic miracle story. Love this lady. Can't wait. She's my favorite woman in the Bible. Can't wait to meet her. But the Bible says when she touched the hem of his garment, King James Version, virtue. King James Version, virtue flowed from him. Other translations say dunamis, power. She touched and the Spirit flowed. It was the Spirit that worked the miracle. Think about this, Romans 8:11. I'm going to fill your shopping cart tonight. And when you go to Bucky's, you need a cart. Romans 8:11 says, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, same Spirit that raised, Spirit raised. Who raised Jesus from the dead? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the worker of miracles. I'm setting you up tonight because I'm going to pull the rug out. You ever seen these table tricks where they have like a tablecloth and nice china and everything? And they go, and they pull the tablecloth and everything stays in place. I'm going to be that guy tonight. Pull that tablecloth out. Pull that rug out from under us. And get rid of every lame religious excuse. Here's one of them. I'm only human. We're only human. Not! Stop that. Come on, I'm challenging you. Stop talking weakness and failure. Start speaking the word of God. I am not that man. I am not that woman. I am not that person. I am a born again, resurrected spirit being dwelling in a quickened body. You got to realize that. See, Ephesians 2:1, I'm filling your basket. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, you has he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. When you receive Jesus, when I received Jesus, the breath of life resurrected my spirit. That's the born again man. Come on, you didn't just walk the aisle just as I am without one plea and shake the preacher's hand. Come on, you didn't get water baptized and just get wet. When the Spirit of Christ comes into you, he who raised Christ raises you. This is a good preacher, brother. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, David encouraged himself in the Lord. He who raised him has raised you. Are you raised? Are you raised to new life? I can go to many churches and I say, are you born again? Are you raised to life? Are you holy? Are you sanctified? Are you glorified? Crickets. The answer is yes. Come on, church. We got to get a revelation tonight of the indwelling Spirit of Christ. Christ is the anointing. Christ is the Spirit. He's in you. He's on you. He's in me. He's on me. He's empowered us. God, break us out of doubt and unbelief and tradition and religion and deceptive spirits that have tried to keep us bound up, keep us corralled. I mean, we're like the most beautiful wild horses, but we're corralled inside the four walls, kept by crackers. Crackers. Georgia crackers, Florida crackers. Here's a cracker, there's a cracker. Keep us in the house. Gorgeous stallions, gorgeous mares. We need to be loosed from the corral, loosed from the stall, loosed on the world. You know, we have been so Hollywoodized. That's right, Hollyweird. If you build it, they will come. If you build it, they will come. How's that been working for us? The mortgage keeps coming. The bills keep coming. Where's the people? Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the door. There's no people. Because he didn't say, sit. He didn't say, come and sit, y'all. He said, go. Go into all the world. Go into all the world and touch people, impact people. But we've been scared to death. I'm scared to death. Scared to open our mouths. Scared to touch somebody. Scared because we're so guilt-ridden. Because we cussed, we sinned, we kicked our big toe and said the S word. I mean, we're so guilty. So filled with guilt and shame and blame and condemnation 50 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 minutes ago. Guilt, shame, blame, condemnation. I can't open my mouth. The devil's right there whispering, who do you think you are? I'm born again. I'm a new creation. I'm full of the Holy Spirit. I'm clothed with God's power because that's who he said I am. Brother, when you get this, your life will change. You will become dangerous. Woo-hoo. How many are ready to get dangerous tonight? How many are ready to get dangerous? Now, I don't know about you, but God challenges me. And I want to show you something that I believe is a great challenge for the church. It's found in John 14. John 14 and 12 is probably a page that most churches ripped out. John 14, 12, this is red letter edition. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. People look at that and they're like, you got to be kidding me. This has to be some kind of a allegory. Yeah, that's it. It's allegorical. Metaphorical. Yeah, that's it. Metaphor. Some kind of religious cryptic speech. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Cryptic. Yeah, that's a good one. No. Esoteric. That's it. That's esoteric. Wait! It's literal. It's legitimate. He said, those who believe, those who have faith. See, we can walk around and say, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. To say I believe means to have true Bible faith with corresponding action. Church, faith must have corresponding action. Did you get that? True faith must be accompanied by corresponding action. What did James say? James said, faith without works is dead. If I really believe, I say, I believe. Swing, batter, swing. I believe. If I say I believe, then I will show what I believe by my words and deeds. Tonight, I believe. I believe in miracles. And we're going to prove that tonight. Say, oh my God, this is really flipped out. This guy's flipped. How can you say that we'll see miracles tonight? How can you put a sign on the road, miracles tonight? How can you possibly? Isn't that preposterous? Isn't that presumption? Braggadocious? Simply alitocious? Yes! Because we believe. How do you believe? How can you be confident that God will open blind eyes, deaf ears, crippled limbs will be straight, people walk out of wheelchairs? Number one, we have his word on it. And really, that's enough. But we also have seen it with our own eyes. Church, I am a living witness. 41 years in many countries of this world, I have watched eye to eye supernatural, wonderful miracles. I'll never forget this miracle. I was preaching in probably one of the most religious regions of the world, the north of England. God bless our British cousins. Usually very reserved, very staid, dignified. And the power of God moved on a Sunday morning, the most religious morning of the week, in a little village, I'll never forget. It was called Orton, England, little village. People were healed and miracles happened. A woman that had been in a horrible car accident, had a little pushy walker wheelie thingy, was delivered from that walkie wheelie thingy. Don't you hate walkie wheelie thingy? Give me that walkie wheelie thingy. As I came down the end of the line, I'm hearing testimony, miracle. There was a woman sitting on a chair. And she was openly weeping. She was an elderly woman, weeping, sitting in a chair. I said, ma'am, what has happened to you? She said, I felt the fire of God come on me. I said, that's wonderful. What's happened? She said, I was born with a blind and deformed eyeball. She's sitting in a chair like this, brother. I kneeled down. I have all these videos, John David Kirby, on my YouTube channel, Dr. John David Kirby, YouTube, videos, shorts, you can see it if you don't believe. Please visit my site. I'm kneeling down like this. I put my hand on her eyeball. Remember, blind from birth, she's probably in her mid-70s, deformed. I lay my hand on her eyeball in the name of Jesus. Not in my name, not the name of a ministry or an American, but in the name of Jesus, I release the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what you got to learn, church. He's in you. He wants to be released through you. He's released through your mouth. He's released through your hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Lay your hand on the sick and they'll recover. Mark 16, 18. Why? Because your hand is a releasing point for the kingdom. I took my hand off and I watched a miracle. Her eyeball was like an almond shape, like a football shape. And right in front of my eyes, inches away, I watched her eyeball reform into a normal eye. And she said, I can see. The video is on my YouTube channel, Dr. John David Kirby. You can see the video. The proof is right there. I'm not making this up. I watched a woman's blind eye and deformed eyeball transform into a normal eye inches from her face. When you see that, it changes you. When you see the miracle power of God, it changes you. Yes, it changed her, but man, it changed me. You know what happens to you? You get more bold, more courageous, more daring. A short time after that, we flew to France. Parlez-vous français? We flew to France, went to the south of France. I said, you're here tonight. You believe God will touch you. I want you to lay your left hand on your body, raise your right hand to heaven, and receive your miracle. So I'm ministering in the name of Jesus, da-da-da-da-da. I noticed that there was a woman who had her left hand on her eyeball. After we released healing portion of the service, miracle portion of the service, I said, now God has touched you. Please come and tell us. Please come and tell me. People begin to come. They begin to come. God had touched them, putting their own hand on their own body. They begin to come. They begin to come. Here comes this woman. And I said to her, ma'am, what happened to you? She said, I was born with a blind and deformed eyeball. Tonight, you said, lay your hand on your body. She said, I laid my hand on my blind and deformed eyeball from birth. This is what she said, not me. She said, I felt another hand come on my hand, and my eye is perfectly restored. God recreated, restored her blind eye from birth. She said, I felt someone else put a hand on top of my hand. Exact miracle that I had just seen in the north of England. Miracle science. There's nothing impossible. If God can reform an eyeball and give sight, there's nothing he can't do. You know, I had an amazing experience happen, and faith is starting to rise in this room. I can feel it. Faith is starting to rise for eyesight miracles tonight. Glaucoma, iris conditions, retinas. Glaucoma is going to die tonight. Cataracts will die tonight. Blurred vision will die tonight. Double vision dies tonight. I was preaching on Long Island. The New Yorkers call it Long Island. And a woman had received a wonderful miracle. She was under doctor's care and was crippled up and had pain and couldn't move, and God touched her. And then she said, would you pray for my friend? He's blind. I said, sure, that's what we're here for. So she points to a man in the back of the church. Now, I'm a guest speaker. I don't know any back history. I don't know what happened. This man was completely blind, had his little blind man cane. He clinked and clunked his way in to find a seat. They finally got him a seat in the back, and he's sitting back there, blind, completely blind. So I walked to the back of the room, laid hands on him in the name of Jesus, released the power. See, church, you have to learn to release the power within you. He's in here. One ain't two, get out. See, we've been so busy praying, God, come down. He's saying, I don't need to come down. I need to come out. I need to come out. I'm in here. I mean, I can almost hear the Holy Spirit say, he's in here. Let me out. We don't believe that. We don't believe that. We still believe we're a little sinner saved by grace. God, give me strength to hold on until Jesus comes. I don't have time to get into all that tonight. So I pray for this man. I lay my hands on this man in the name. People say, do you have to shout? Yes. It torments hell when you shout, come out. So I laid hands on this blind man in the name of Jesus. Amen. I moved around the room, prayed for a few more people. Da-da-da-da-da. The service comes to an end. Turn the microphone back to the pastor. I'm standing down in the front of the church, about right here. Just talking to another pastor that we're just talking. All of a sudden, I hear a voice behind me. I can see you. I looked. Here was the little blind man. He turns and he reads the clock on the back wall. God had opened his eyes. But wait, it's more. If you order now, I'll throw in another set of ninja knives for $19.99, brother. Shipping and handling, of course. He said one of the craziest things I've ever heard. Now, I pastored a church for 17 years. I heard a lot of crazy stuff in 17 years of pestering. This is what he said. He said, I have a dead man's eyes. Now, how do you respond to that? Cool. You're weird. Pastor wants me. I'm late for something. How do you respond when someone tells you they have a dead man's eyes? I'm like, okay. What happened? They did a cadaver surgery. They took a cadaver's eyeballs, removed parts of the eye, surgically implanted them into another man's eye. The man had a dead man's eyes. Now here's the question. If God can heal another man's eyes in another man's body, what do you think he can do for you? God opened the man's eyes. That's a supernatural miracle, saints. How's that happen? By understanding something. Here it is. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Ready.
Partnership with God. You want a word to rock your life? Challenge you? Get the revelation tonight. I am a partner with God. God needs a body. He's not going to do it alone. He's not going to do it by himself. He's waiting for the body. Come on, we got to volunteer tonight. Lord, I want to be the body of Christ. Christ anointed. I'm going to give the Holy Spirit a body to live through. Come on now. He's looking for a body. Jesus was the body for the Holy Spirit to work through. Yes, supreme sacrifice. Yes, he paid the sinless price. Yes, he bled and died. Yes, he shed perfect blood. But the Spirit needed a body. God needed a body to fulfill his will. Now, metaphorically, categorically, mystically, we are the body of Christ. I am the body. You are the body. If this gets in your spirit, it'll rock your world. When you get the revelation of partnership, Jesus partnered with the Holy Spirit. You, me, we are partners. But now, here's the crucial element. God will do what he said he would do when we do what he told us to do. See, we've been waiting on God. Sounds so religious. Well, brother, you know, Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings as eagles and run and not be weary, walking not faint. I'm just waiting on God. What are you doing, brother? Waiting on the Lord. How about you, sister? I'm waiting on God, waiting on my miracle, waiting on my healing, waiting on my husband, waiting on, I'm just waiting. But here's the golden nugget. The word wait doesn't mean sit. It means to serve. Ooh, that'll preach, brother. Thank you. Wait doesn't mean sit. It means serve. Serve. They that wait, they that serve. Remember Jesus? He said, I must be about my Father's business. Come on. They that wait upon the Lord, he'll renew their strength. Not sitting, but serving. God's going to change us tonight. God's going to challenge us tonight to partner with the Holy Spirit. That's why Mark 16, 18 says they will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Think about this before we pray. Galatians 2:20. See, I am a new covenant kingdom believer. Many people are caught up in all kinds of old covenants. I am a new covenant, new creation. After the image of the first born again man, Revelation 1:7, Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead. Galatians 2:20, in your Bible, Pauline epistles, Pauline revelation, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by the faith of, O-F, of the Son of God. Christ's very own, Jesus' very own faith has been infused and imputed into my life. That'll rock your religious boat. Rock the boat, don't tip the boat over, rock the boat. Come on, 70s people. That'll rock your boat, that'll rock your world, that'll shake you up. Christ, not metaphorically, not religiously, not esoteric, legitimately. He's in us, but he wants to flow out of us. He wants to live through you. He wants to live through me. So here's the issue. Partnership with God. What's it mean to be a partner? I have my part, he has his part. So if I will do my part, he's faithful to do his. I can trust him. Come on, I can trust him tonight. I've seen the wonderful works of God. I've seen the miracle. I've seen what I'm telling you tonight legitimately manifest. Let me tell you a story. We're going to pray here shortly. About signs and wonders. I was out in Batesville, Arkansas. Anybody from Arkansas, been to Arkansas, heard of Arkansas? And in the back of the room, about where this lovely lady in the blue top is sitting, I saw something. I saw a woman. And it was quite a bit off, and I'm looking at her. And I noticed something was strange about this woman. Now, please listen. I'm not making fun or ridiculing her. I'm just telling you how it was. I look back, and the woman never stopped moving. This is the best that I can depict it. Her mouth, her eye, her head. Never stop moving. Can you imagine living like this? Can you imagine going to Walmart and people like getting out of your way? I mean, poor woman. That's how she lived. Head moving, eye moving, mouth. I'm looking at this in the back of the church. She's sitting in the back row of the church. I said, ma'am, Are you ready for your miracle now? Not, ma'am, can we pray for you? Come on, church. Can we throw one up for you? I said, are you ready for your miracle now? Whoa, brother, now, I'm not there yet. You will be. She said, yes. She said, yes. She was ready. She comes walking up. She comes walking up the side aisle of the church. She gets to the end of the pew with this lovely lady in the pink and the purple. And that's when I saw it. Not only is she going like this, head moving, eye moving, mouth moving, neck moving. Her eye socket hung down, I would say about an inch and a half, maybe 2 inches. It hung down into here. It was blood red, soaking wet. It was the nastiest thing I've seen. Her eyeball was turned back in her head, blind in that eye. Her eyeball was back in her head. All you could see was the white. This eye socket's drooping down about 2 inches, soaking wet, blood red. It was the nastiest thing I've ever seen. And kind of, Poor woman lived like this all of her life. She'd had multiple surgeries on this eyeball. Never to any of it. They even infused gold into her eye, trying to help. Nothing worked for her. She came up to the front. There was a pulpit just like this on the floor. She stood next to me right here. I lay my hand on that wet, nasty, slimy, bloody, moving mess. I say, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, come out. I release the working of miracles. I release the gifts of... I didn't pray, oh God, please send Gabriel, send Michael, oh God, please. I said, in the name of Jesus, come out. Why? I'm a partner with the Holy Spirit. You're a partner. Listen to me. Your voice with his voice releases the power. Let me give you a golden nugget. The Holy Spirit is the power that is released in the name of Jesus. When you say in the name, poof, the Holy Spirit's released. The Holy Spirit responds to one name, the name above every name. When you say in the name of Jesus, boom, the Spirit moves. The Spirit moves in the name. I took my hand off that nasty, bloody, drooping mess. The first thing I noticed was a beautiful blue eye. Pastor Tony Hammack was there. My wife was there. I believe Cheryl Frey was on the keyboard. I have witnesses. Her eyeball came down from her head. Beautiful blue eye looking at me. Second thing I noticed, all the shaking stopped. Years. Not days, not months, years. She lived like this. All of a sudden, something started happening in this room. She's standing here reading my iPad, reading the scripture, no glasses, two perfect eyes. All the shaking stopped. All of a sudden, I felt the tangible glory come on me. And I start shouting, the Master is here! The Master is here! The Master is here! People started running to the front. I never prayed. I never said, lay your hand on yourself. I never really have an altar call. We're going to pray for the sick now. People started running to the front. Like, what is going on here? The Master is here! It echoed in that building. People started running to the front saying, I just got healed. My frozen arm just went free. My frozen wrist just got released. My back just got over. People were lining up. I never touched them. I never prayed. The Master is here. The Master is here. Miracles are breaking out in the church, in their seats. That's the tangible presence of God, church. Oh, we got to believe again. We are the supernatural church. We are not a dead church. We are the living manifestation of the kingdom of God in the earth. Oh, challenge me tonight, God. Come on, I could go on for hours. I just got back from a month of miracles all over South America. I just got back from a month of miracles in Brazil and Argentina. Every night, every night, every night. The blind see, the deaf hear. People are walking out of wheelchairs, dropping canes and crutches. When you walk in that, when you see that, it changes your life. It changes you forever. So I'm asking, what happened to you? My arm's free. My wrist got healed. My back is healed. And I looked up, and there's the woman leaving. I said, hey, where are you going? She's like, I'm leaving. She just gets this supernatural, life-changing, notable, mind-blowing, medically confirmable miracle, and she's leaving? I said, where's your glasses? She's in my pocket, like, stupid. I don't need them anymore. I said, please come back here. Please come back here. So she came walking back up, and that's when I saw this. All that drooping skin, about 2 inches of droop, nasty, bloody, wet. Oh, it's disgusting. Had sucked up. Perfect. I mean, ladies, she got Botox without the tox. Her skin pulled back. It was astonishing. From what she was minutes ago, drooping, bloody, nasty, white eyeball back in her head, blind in one eye, perfectly restored. And I said, now, is there anyone here knows this woman? Anybody here knows her? And a woman in the back of the room says, I know her. We went to school together. And I said, please come, please come. So she comes walking up the middle aisle. She got about where the worship leader guitar player is sitting tonight. And she screamed. I'm in front of God and Gabriel. Scream, oh my God! She screamed in church. Oh my God! She was overwhelmed by the miracle. The woman's face was completely restored. You talk about a supernatural sign and wonder. From blind, eyeball back in her head, about 2 inches of droop, blood, nasty, wet, shaking constantly for years of her life. This woman testified, I knew her as a child. She's been like this all her life. One touch from Jesus, people. One touch from the real Christ transformed her life. She didn't just get her eye back, she got her life back. Can you imagine being ostracized and made fun of and hidden from like some kind of a creature? Hide your kids from, look at this woman. Completely restored. I saw it with my own eyes, church. I'm challenging you today. I'm challenging myself to believe for greater. John 14, 12 is the challenge. If we believe, Jesus said we would do what he did in greater. So I believe, I've read that all my life. I heard preachers preach that all my life. That's wonderful. But are you living it? Is it real for you? Is it a challenge for you? Well, ask for the pastor. You know, ask for the evangelist. You know, I'm just a homemaker. I'm just a businessman. No. God will not do it without us. I am the body. You are the body. God needs a body. You are a body. Are you a willing body to carry him to the world? To carry him to the world. One final thought. The majority of miracles in the life and ministry of Jesus, Paul, Peter, the apostles of the book of Acts did not happen in a church, a synagogue, or a temple. They happened in the street. They happened in a home. They happened in a market. They happened out in the midst of the world among us. We got to be bold, church. We got to be courageous. But it comes by revelation. You have to believe that he's in me. You have to believe he wants to touch through me. You have to believe it's not just for the professional clergy. Well, I'm not ordained. I didn't go to seminary. Praise God. Amen. He is in us. Let's let him out. So, Father, I release this message tonight. I pray you would challenge us today. I pray we're challenged in our Christianity. We're challenged in our kingdom life. I break every spirit of doubt, unbelief, guilt, shame, blame, condemnation, religion, tradition. Lord, I break this off of us tonight. I break this lie off of us just for the professional clergy or the apostle, or the prophet, or the pastor, or the teacher, or the evangelist. I break that off of us tonight. That we are the body. I am the body. You are the head and I am a body. We are the body in this building. We have individual bodies in this building to release you to the world among us. Father, touch the people. Give them this revelation. Let it become alive in them. Let it become a life-changing moment to challenge us. No matter who you are, man, woman, boy or girl, educated, uneducated. Look, some of the greatest apostles of all were really unlearned fishermen. Turned the world upside down. Don't let the lies of this world stop you. But let revelation from God challenge you in Jesus' powerful name. And all those that believe, agree, and receive said amen. Amen. Can we just lift our hands just for a moment? And just worship him for a moment. Lord Jesus, we do worship you. You are King, eternal, immortal, invisible. You are the only wise God and Savior. And we worship you. And Lord, we honor you at the mystery. The God-man mystery. The Lord, how you laid aside your active deity to live and die as a man. We honor you. We worship you. Teach us, oh God. Teach us how to be the body in the earth. And we give you all the glory. Because we know it's at your name, in your name, by your name, through your name. It's in the name that is above every name. And I pray tonight, God, that you would impart this truth to us. That we will become commanders from this night forward. That we're no longer beggars, we're no longer paupers, we're no longer slaves, we're no longer servants, but we are commanders in the name of Jesus. And we're partners with the Holy Spirit to do the works of Christ in the earth in Jesus' mighty name. And all those that believe, agree, and receive said amen. Amen. I want you to just look at somebody and say, I pray you got that. I pray it changes your life. In Jesus' name. Now maybe you're here in this last few moments. Maybe you're here in this service and you need a touch from God. Maybe you have a tumor, a brain tumor. Maybe you have polyps in your body, maybe cysts. Maybe your breathing is labored. There's a blockage in your body. Could be a heart condition, a cancer. Been an accident, an injury, a blow to your body, something is paralyzed. And you believe that God will touch you. I believe he'll touch you. If you believe tonight that God will touch you, open your deaf ear, cause the popping and buzzing sounds to stop, tinnitus to go from you, pain in your digestive system, you need a miracle. You have a fused neck, titanium inserts in your body. God can melt that out of your body tonight. God can melt metal. He can melt titanium. Maybe it's a deaf ear. Maybe right here tonight, you've been suffering with ear infections. Your ear doesn't drain correctly or properly. Any form of eye disease or disorder, I want to believe with you right now. If you're here right now, you say, I believe God will touch me. I want to ask you to take the first step of faith. The first step of faith. I want you to simply stand where you are. And then secondly, I want you to just come and walk down here for me, please.